Humans have a remarkable brain, and in particular have a remarkable set of frontal lobes. We have the largest frontal lobes as a percentage of our body weight of any species on the planet. And we are a remarkable social species. And our frontal lobes have allowed us to create culture, and culture has allowed us to transmit information within and between generations and generate new forms of knowledge that have allowed us to become the most dispersed species on the planet. I'm Shane O'Mara. I'm Professor of Experimental Brain Research here at Trinity College, and I'm currently the Director of the Trinity College Institute of Neuroscience. Now, what the frontal lobe confers on you is the ability to place yourself in time. It allows you to think about the consequences of your actions. It allows you to plan for the future. It allows you to decide at the age of 20, I need a pension when I'm 70, something that's 50 years down the line. That's quite a remarkable capacity. No other species has this capacity to visualize ourselves on a timeline, knowing that we're going to have an end, knowing that we're going to be infirm, and we have to make provision for this. So this kind of ability to delay gratification, and as economists would put it, smooth out our consumption curves over our lives, is something that really is uniquely human. We don't talk about the brain having a memory system. What we talk about is the memory systems of the brain. So, for example, in the frontal lobes, you have a memory system that's very much concerned with working memory. So these are short-term memories. If I give you a telephone number, for example, to remember, that's where you'll store it. If I ask you to do something with that telephone number, if I give it to you forward and I ask you to repeat it to me backwards, that's very much a frontal lobe function. And while you're doing that, you have to suppress your long-term memory areas. So these are in the temporal lobes, which are on the sides of the brain. And if I'm getting you to do something like a motor skill, teaching you how to swing a golf club, teaching you how to open a door, these depend on a very different set of brain systems. This memory system revolves around a key structure called the hippocampus, kind of a fanciful name. The hippocampus is Greek for seahorse, and when you dissect out the human hippocampus, it kind of looks like a seahorse. People who suffer damage to the hippocampus or to structures that are connected to it end up with a very, very dense amnesia for what are called personally experienced events. You know, what did I have for breakfast this morning? Remembering to do what you want to do next. Where am I going? Those kinds of things. What you have is a brain, and the brain consists of two hemispheres, so it's in two halves. But the two halves are connected to each other by a massive fibre bundle consisting of millions upon millions of fibres, and your brain operates as a unity. You can have left brain and right brain people if you have surgery to separate the two hemispheres. And even under those circumstances, people's eyes move, so getting information into one hemisphere or the other independently requires very, very special experimental circumstances. And the lower reaches of the brain, the brainstem, places like that, and also a fibre bundle that everybody forgets, the anterior commissure, is still intact. So this idea that we're left-brained or right-brained is nonsense. What I would ultimately like to be able to do is to say that I've contributed in some way to understanding how it is that the brain works, in particular understanding how memory works, how it is that a brain can learn its own name at the age of two and still recall its own name 96 years later. I think if I've contributed to that in some way, I'd be very, very pleased with myself.